Sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. Thank you for your support.
CFRC from Kingston, Ontario. Your volunteer program, campus and community radio at 101.9 FM and on the web at cfrc.ca.
Hi everyone, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm your host Claire and you're listening to Earworm. And today I'll be doing another interview with Lauren Kovacs. And to refresh you guys, she is a Canadian singer-songwriter, but this time she has recently come out with a new EP called Something Somewhere. Please welcome Lauren Kovacs.
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, of course. So a lot of the questions are not going to be like personality questions because I feel like we did that in the first interview.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be more about your EP.
Okay.
Which is super exciting.
Yeah, thank you. So excited.
Yeah, it's so good, by the way. Like,
oh, thank you so much.
If you see my Spotify Wrapped and one of your songs is on it, like, I just would not be surprised. But
that means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
No, honestly, like, I'm being so, like, for real. Like, leaving town is just, like, I don't know. The Y2K vibe, I feel like, has just been trending so much lately. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you killed it with, like, your take, you know?
Thank you. I've definitely been, like, loving the Y2K vibe coming back. So it was definitely a huge inspiration.
Yeah. Sure. I was going to ask more about, like, the aesthetics about your EP.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for your Stay a While music video, I saw that you used, like, a low budget and also got inspiration from Eyes Wide Shut. Sorry, that's my window. But like, can you talk about how it inspired you and where you found the idea?
Yeah, so honestly, I owe all of that to my creative director, Jung. She's so good at like coming up with like video ideas, and she loves a lot of like old movies, which I have like a lot in common with her. So whenever she comes with ideas like that, like, I used to, like, always see that clip of Tom Cruise walking with, like, the back projection behind him. And I was like, that looks so cool. And it feels, like, so much like that era. So we kind of wanted to, like, match, like, that vibe, like, that 2000s vibe. And the same thing for, like, the Leaving Town video. There's, like, a lot of inspiration from, like, Gummo. So just, like, a lot of those, like, older movies. And I feel like the songs themselves, like, kind of like what you're saying, like, they have, like, a lot of, like, the early 2000s inspiration, and even for Stay a While. And so I feel like that's kind of, like, how we ended up with those kind of, like, vibes when it comes to, like, music videos.
Interesting. No, honestly, I thought that, like, if I didn't see the behind the scenes, I thought you would have filmed the Stay a While video in China when you were visiting.
Yeah, with all the street lights and everything, it definitely has that vibe. But yeah, when she like told me her idea for that, I was like, it's so cool, because I just like love projectors and stuff, and I love how it looks. And the night before we filmed it, I came down to like her apartment downtown, and we fully just like walked down, I forget what street, but one of the main streets downtown. So it was just really fun.
Whoa, that's interesting. That's very cool. I also wanted to ask more about the aesthetic. Did you make like a mood board for it? Because I'm just curious. It had like a very similar, like a consistent aesthetic throughout the EP.
Yeah, so when I first wrote the EP, and like while I was in LA and kind of like putting together all of the songs back in, I think, February, I did start like a mood board. And I feel like there's like a lot of different vibes that came together, but I feel like the overarching theme was like a lot of like girlhood and like things that like a lot of people have gone through and can like relate to, and also like kind of like reminiscing like my childhood and who I became as a person. And so I feel like with that, it made me think of a lot of like kind of like trying to think how to describe like the vibe, like pastel colors and kind of like this playfulness and this nostalgia, but then also having like a little bit of like a darkness to it and a bit of like a sadness and like melancholy. And then I had shown that to like my creative director, Jung, and she just like really went with it and she really understood like the vibe that I wanted. So that's kind of how we ended up there.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, so talking more about like your childhood and how this project has kind of like helped you keep in touch with like your inner child. Like what has this project mean to you as like an artist, and how has like writing these songs become a healing experience for you?
Yeah, this making this project meant so much to me, and it felt very like emotional. I think also because it is my first project, you know, I was like, there's so much that I could write about. There's so many different things that I could do, and I just wanted to like kind of like tap into like different areas of my life. You know, so like I followed like there's some songs that are kind of like heartbreak, both like platonically and romantically, falling in love, dwelling on like my past and like my childhood. And I feel like mapping out those parts of my life, I don't know, it kind of gave me some clarity on like who I am, and it kind of like pulled me a bit out of like, it pulled me a bit out of my own life so that I could kind of like step back and like look back at myself and not dwell too much on some of the things that happened. So I feel like this really was like a healing and like meaningful process, and it did really help me kind of like move on from a lot of things in my life.
That's interesting. Would you say it's like better than therapy?
I think it's definitely better than therapy because it's fun. It almost like it's serious, but it's also unserious in a way because I enjoy it so much. So I think for me, I like it better than therapy, I'd say.
They say that like healing and like learning is a lot easier when there's like play put into it. So as an artist, you are not only like healing a part of yourself, but also having fun and playing with like the ideas of dark thoughts, but also making that into a healing experience.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think in order to like get through things, you kind of need a little bit of playfulness and unseriousness, and it just, I feel like it makes it so much easier to like get through some things. So definitely agree with that.
Yeah, you've even said in the past interview that sometimes you use humor as like a coping mechanism, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so real, so real. So speaking of like jokes, I guess, you were pulled over for the Leaving Town video in LA. So what did the cops say to you guys, and how did you react to that situation?
Oh my gosh, that was terrifying, because we were in the Mojave Desert and it was like completely empty, which was like already spooky in itself. And we were driving like so slow, and I was basically just like, my head was hanging out of the car window, and Jung, my creative director, who was filming it, she was almost completely out of the window with her camera. And then like a car drove by and I didn't even see the car. And then like Lay was there too, and she was like, cop, 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 there's a cop. And so we're all like freaking out, and we're like, oh my God, like we're gonna get arrested, especially because like we're in like the States, and like, you know, it's a little scarier over there. So like we had
True.
no idea. Yeah, we had no idea what was gonna happen. And like when the cop came out, he was like intimidating at first, and he was like, "What the heck are you guys doing? Like, why are you out of like the car window?" And we were like, "Oh, we're just filming something. We're driving really slow. We're being super careful." And then I think he grabbed Jung's ID and he went back to his car. And so we were like, "Oh my God, we're gonna get a ticket or something." And he came back out with like a paper, and we were like, "Oh no, it's a ticket." And then he opened it up, and it was like a map of the desert. And he was like, "Oh, this is a really big desert, so make sure you guys are safe." And like, he was so nice, which was like really surprising because we were so terrified. But I think it went like possibly the best way it could have gone. And we didn't record out the window anymore because we were scared to get caught again. So we just continued our other shots, and it ended up being fine.
Wait, that's so nice.
I know, it was so shocking.
Yeah, that is so scary, especially like being people of color as well. It's just
Yeah, no,
living in America.
it was terrifying. And like we're in like the middle of nowhere, so we're like we don't know what the cops are like out there. But we got very lucky, so
That's
I'm very
good. That's
glad.
good.
Yeah.
Have you watched like Victorious growing up?
Oh my God, I loved Victorious.
You know that scene or like that episode where Tori like needs a ride to school, and like she asks Jade to pick her up, and then they're driving through the desert, and then it's like kind of like a threat.
I kind of remember that. I feel like I can like see it in my head. I just remember I loved Jade's character so
No,
much.
honestly, I was gonna say that you give off Jade's like aesthetic like so
That's
much.
so nice. I'm so glad. I think I mean, I'm glad that aesthetic wise, maybe. I think once I start talking, maybe not so much. 'Cause
Yeah,
like
like
I'm not as nonchalant as she is,
I
but
think it's like even if you don't get compared to her, like, you know, she is like also very scary, so.
yeah, and I hope I'm not scary. I don't think I'm
No, you're
scary.
not. You're not. And actually, I was gonna ask you about like performances because like meeting you ha gives fans a chance to like really see you perform and like see how you are like as a person in real life.
Yeah.
So there has been some shows recently where some local artists in Toronto have done a headliner show f after their EP release. I know that you have a performance for Frank soon, but are you thinking of potentially doing a headliner show for your EP?
Yeah, so we're like in the midst of planning a headline show possibly in like January or February. And I really wanted to do like a really like intimate acoustic show. So we might do like a couple nights of that in Toronto. But I'm so excited. Like it's kind of just it's a little scary and like intimidating, but I honestly can't believe that I'm even gonna have like a headline show, even if it's small, but I am hoping to like meet people that listen to my music and like you said, like kind of get to like actually interact, which I think like gets people to know me a bit better, which I think is super important as an artist.
I'm so excited.
Yay.
I feel like I haven't seen you perform in so long, too.
I know it's been a while. I feel like it's just working on like the EP and stuff
So
has like
fair.
taken a lot, but I'm really excited to like start performing more. And I'm excited to perform with Frank too. Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
just
that's so
excited for the
exciting.
future.
Oh my goodness. Wait, I'm so excited to meet you. The last time I saw you perform was like last year, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. It's been a while.
And
Been too long.
at that performance, you performed Flipside.
Yeah, wait, which one was that? Now I'm trying to
I
remember
think it
which one.
was
Was
like
it?
the, it was Tapestry.
Right. Yeah. I think Flipside might have been one of like the first songs that I performed ever. Because
Ever?
I think I did it at the Takes a Village event too.
Oh,
Which was like my first like real performance.
Yes.
So that one, like, yeah, that one I've been like holding on to for a while. So I'm so happy that it's finally out.
Now I was going to ask about like Flipside and how the other songs came into fruition. Like there's some EPs on the, or there's song, there are some songs on the EP that have, that you've performed in the past, but also a song that is like more relevant in your life, like leaving town. Mm-hmm. I know that producing usually takes longer than writing the song. So how long did it take to finish some of the songs? Did some take more time to make than others?
Yeah, so I'm not, like, I feel like the production didn't even take necessarily, like, crazy long for some of them. Like, I think Flipside and Just a Hug, I had written, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago. So those two are probably the oldest. And they didn't necessarily take a long time to finish. It was more just, like, we didn't know where to put it or, like, where it fit in. You know, like, I was like, I'm not sure if it's a single. I'm not sure if it, like, fits into something. And then once I wrote Leaving Town, which I think was in, I want to say, like, December, January last year. And that's when I was, like, things started to become clearer. And I was like, this, like, these songs, like, really fit in together for a project. So then I went to LA in February and I wrote the rest of the songs there. And then, like, in the next few months after that, we kind of finished everything. So it's kind of weird because, like, it feels like it's been a long time. But at the same time, a lot of the songs did come together pretty quick. I think it was just, like, waiting for the right moments and waiting to figure out, like, which songs really fit together and, like, made sense in a project.
Interesting. If I remember from earlier in the interview, you talked about how the mood board you made was like a lot earlier, or was that?
Yeah, so that was in February when we made like the rest of the songs, and that's when I was like,
that's when
I was so excited.
Yeah, together. Okay.
Yeah, and I was like making the track list and everything. And I was like, this is it. This is my first project. It's finally real.
Wow. So would you say like Leaving Town was like the puzzle piece in something that just clicked in your mind?
I think so. I think that song just felt like almost like a breakthrough in my writing. I feel like I felt like so proud of that one after it was written. And so like, I think that definitely like ignited like a spark and like just feeling super like excited and like passionate. And like, it definitely like started something, that's for sure.
Yeah, Leaving Town's my favorite off the EP. But you said yours is The Girl Who Never Learned the Wells.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about how much that song means to you and also your inner child?
Yeah, so I feel like even when I listen to other artists, I kind of always pick like the most like raw, sad song or like emotional song. Like those always end up being my favorites. So I feel like that's why The Girl Who Never Learned is my favorite as well. And so yeah, I wrote that kind of like to my younger self, just because I grew up very shy and I struggled with like a lot of anxiety and stuff since I was a kid. And so for so much of my life, I didn't really know like where I was going to end up. I didn't know like if I was good at anything or if I would ever be good at anything. And so I feel like being where I'm at right now, where I'm doing something that makes me so happy, it's just like emotional to like kind of look back. And like, I kind of wish like I could tell my younger self to like not take things so seriously, and that like, you know, things unfold and like your life gets like sorted out and you end up where you're meant to end up. So yeah, that's kind of why that song means a lot to me.
Wait, that's so sweet. Aw. Do you believe in divine timing?
Yeah, I think I definitely do. It's interesting because I feel like sometimes, especially in the last few years, I'm like, oh, I wish I started releasing music earlier, I wish I, like, you know, I'll see like artists who are younger who are doing so well, and I'm like, I should have done it the way they did it. I should have done it years ago. I should have done this. I should have done that. And like, you know, like you kind of just fill your mind with like regret of like your life and stuff. But at the same time, when I really like think about it, I think that everything has happened at the right time and like for a reason. I think that like, you know, maybe if I started releasing music earlier, then maybe I wouldn't have been ready and I wouldn't have met the people that I've met now. And so I definitely do truly believe in divine timing and that things really do happen like when they're supposed to happen. And like that is like so different for each person. And you have to like kind of understand that like this is like what's meant for your life. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like with divine timing, it helps also make you patient and like be less angry at the world as well. Like, for example, if you are forgetting stuff before leaving the house or and it's making you late for something, but maybe there was a reason why the universe is just pushing you back for a little bit to prevent you from experiencing some things like a car accident or making you safe, basically.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think like, especially with stuff like that, I think it really helps, like thinking that way really helps you to like live in the moment, because it's so easy to like get caught up in like time and thinking you have no time and thinking you have to do things in a certain timeline. So I think that's such a great way to think.
Yes, for sure. And I feel like with also like alignment, there's always like signs that you are where you're needed to be as well, which I think
is totally
really cool. But okay, which question should I ask you next? So in White Picket Fence, you talk about dreaming of a traditional life. As a musician, life can become more unconventional. Can you talk about this yearn, but also being a creative and its and the sides of each?
Yeah, so I think when I was writing that song, like, it's such a strange thing. Like, I think especially like being in like your 20s or really like any point in your life. But I think now I'm really starting to think of like, you know, like life is actually moving and changing and like, I don't know where I'll be and stuff. And I think when I was younger, like kind of like what I was saying before, I didn't know like what was meant for my life. And so I think I kind of like used like the traditional life that you see in like movies and in music to kind of like give myself something to expect and like kind of to be like if I can't like achieve my dreams, if I just do like the traditional thing, then that's enough. And now I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, you know what? I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want, 'cause like anything could change any day and like that's okay. So it is weird, like, and it, like, especially being like a musician where like it's not really like a typical job. But I think it's kind of like fun to not have to like follow this like traditional thing and not knowing like what could happen, because even though it's scary and like things could change, you know, maybe in a negative way, it could also change in like such a good way in like such a short amount of time. So it is like a strange thing to think about, but.
That's so interesting. Like thinking about how being a musician is, or just taking any path, is not always linear, and that your life can change at any moment. It's really interesting to think about.
Yeah, it is
also
super
very profound.
As yeah,
well. But I feel like also very Gemini of you.
Is that
can
true?
Can I say that? Can I say that?
I think so. I still don't know like a ton about like the signs and everything, but
I think
well,
that
girl,
makes
let me
sense.
tell you.
Please do.
So Gemini is like a mutable sign, and mutable signs are very like just go with the flow, and they could really change up very easily amongst any of the other signs. So mutable signs include Gemini, Sagittarius, Pisces, and Virgo, and they're the most like quick on the draw, I guess, people where they kind of just like hop from one place to another, and they're like nomads. Is that
oh I see you know yeah I mean? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so
yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I think that that definitely is true, and I think there's like pros and cons to that.
Oh,
so
for
it's
sure.
definitely interesting, but I feel that.
Yeah. And it's so opposite from like what I am. I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a fixed sign. And it's very hard for us to move on. So, so I guess that's why I'm drawn to like the yearning like songs and like darker melancholic, as you put it.
Yeah.
But I guess like to talk more about that, you being in a healthy relationship, but listening to deep and melancholic songs, like, do you ever like, where does that yearn come from, you think? Asking for a friend, not
I think, I don't know, because I feel like it's just, I think about all of the things throughout my life. And like, since I was a kid, I always wanted to like, I really didn't want to be alone, and I really, really craved like romance and like being loved, and I depended on it very much, which is like sometimes that's sweet, but sometimes it was really unhealthy too. And so I feel like I still remember all those feelings. And I still feel all those feelings. And so I think that really like comes out in my songs. And I think we talked about this like last interview, how like female friendships and like platonic friendships are like just as important as romantic relationships. And so I feel like when I have these like songs that are like yearning and like heartbreak and falling in love, to me, those fit into like platonic relationships just as much. And I think I've like definitely yearned and like felt those feelings when it comes to friends. So I feel like that's kind of how it works for me, like while also being in a relationship.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you remembered our interview.
Of course, it was the best.
So good. Oh my gosh, thank you. I try. But, I want to ask about, because you're just talking about like female friendships and just like platonic friendships in general. So have you ever been through like a friendship breakup that has just been like heart-wrenching, that has been like worse than like a breakup?
Absolutely. I think it is worse than a breakup in some cases. Like there are friendship breakups that I remember and think about more than breakups that I've had with relationships, like romantic relationships. Because I think it's just, I'm not even sure how to explain the difference, but it doesn't end the same way. You know, like you can say like you're dating and then you're not dating in a romantic relationship. Whereas like when you're a friend, it's, you don't really like break up, you know, like, so I feel like it definitely has.
There's like less closure.
Yes. Yeah. I was trying to think of like the word, but totally less closure. And there's definitely like one friend breakup in particular that I think of all the time. And it's just, it's weird. It like sometimes it feels more heartbreaking to me than a romantic relationship. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes you're like closer to like your female friends than you are to like your romantic partner in some cases. Cause you, I don't
there's
know.
Like
how
more
to
intimacy.
It. Yeah, it's like more intimacy, but in a different way.
Like
which
the
is so
verbal
weird.
Intimacy, right?
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I can say that there's for sure friendship breakups that I've had that really stay with me, and I still think about it all the time, and I still miss them, and I still, you know, I have regrets and things too. So it's definitely, I think that they're very important, and like platonic friendships are so important.
But no regrets because of divine timing. And
yes, that too.
Everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely. The regrets are my intrusive thoughts.
But. Right. have you ever written a song about a friendship breakup?
Yeah.
Unreleased or released?
I've written a lot, like, about a specific, like, friendship breakup. And there was actually one that was supposed to be on the EP. But it just didn't really end up fitting. But it was very, like, it was very emotional for me, I think, because it's just, like, kind of strange, like, still knowing just like the difference between like romantic and platonic relationships and like being like so in love with someone in a different way. So I definitely like, I think I'll still be writing about that because I think I'm still definitely like dealing with it and like healing from it and thinking about it. But there are definitely like a lot of songs like in the vault that are about that. So maybe one day I will release one that's kind of more about that.
Yeah, it really sucks to go through like something like that, and I'm sorry you did.
Thank you. I mean, I think it happens to everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Natural way of life.
Yeah, but you know what? At least we get something beautiful out of it. Hashtag art.
Totally.
yeah, and I'm really excited to hear it being performed during your headliner.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Okay. So, hold on a second. Okay. So for making the album covers for the EP and singles, there were a lot of blur aspects, kind of artistic visions happening there, you know? I saw for the EP cover, you threw a picture of a house in the air to make the picture. What advice would you give other artists in making your vision happen, but with also not a lot of special effects, like how you threw the house?
Yeah, so that was actually like a real house, or like it was a toy house that we found literally at Value Village, like 10 minutes before we got to where we were shooting. I don't know. I think there's so much that you can do without a budget. And like, I think for me, I got very lucky that I like know such like talented people. Like once again, like my creative director, Jung, like I could shout her out like a million times because she's just so like brilliant.
Shout out Jung.
She's so brilliant. And like, she knows exactly like the vibe that I'm thinking and like how to like portray that. But I think like, obviously having a budget helps a lot, but I think that there's like so much you can do. And just like, I don't know, like just being creative and like thinking about weird things and not thinking about having like a limit because you don't have a budget, you know, like just like trying it and throwing like paint at a wall, you know?
Yes.
So I don't know. I think if you don't have a budget, just try something weird anyway, because it might work. It might just work.
Actually, I was watching rewatching High Fidelity, the show, recently, and I guess like one thing the main character Rob said to a musician, she said, "What would Prince do? Get weird with it." So,
I love that.
Live by that.
yes, I will. I totally live by that for sure.
okay, so more of general questions. Can you talk about the making of the EP? I know it's very vague of a question, but like, if you have like anything that really stands out in your mind that you want to talk about the EP, like, go for it.
Okay, cool. Like I said, like there was a couple songs that I made a while ago, and those were kind of just like sitting in the vault. And then before I came to LA in February is when I made Leaving Town. And like I was kind of saying before, that kind of started like a spark. And I feel like the reason that spark happened is because I was writing with one of my dear friends, Liam Jessup. He helped write like a few songs on the EP, and like I was really working with him and my boyfriend Adam every single day while we were in LA. And so I think like one of the most important things for this EP and like in creating this EP was collaboration. I think it's so important, and it's hard because I know like years ago I would have been terrified to like make music with other people because it feels like such a vulnerable part of me. But I think when you find people that you trust so much and who like love the same things and like just care about you, it makes it so easy to make music that like you love and that feels very like true to yourself. So I'm very grateful for like the friends that I have that I made this EP with. And I think probably the thing that stood out the most for me is like just being able to like work with people you love and care about. And yeah.
No, honestly, like having a community and working with your friends and your friends supporting you in your creative projects, it's so touching. And I feel like that's where you know where your real friends really come out, is when like they're very supportive of you.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so helpful. I think it makes me feel so much more passionate. You know, having friends who are supportive and who are also passionate, like you really just like feed off of each other, and it's like the best feeling.
Real. So you talked about working with your boyfriend Fritz a lot. How does he help you write and make your music? I'm not sure if I asked this in the last interview, but
yeah, so he's an amazing musician, which I think I'm sure I mentioned before. And he's such a good like guitarist. He's a great instrumentalist. So I feel like sometimes every song is kind of different, but I'll say for this EP, like when we were in LA writing, we kind of did it in like a writing camp type of way. So we're all like living in the same house because they have like a house out there, the friends that I worked on the EP with. So I stayed at their house and they have a studio there, and we'd basically just wake up every day for like a week and just get like straight to work. And like I would kind of like, we would kind of be like, okay, this is the vibe of today. And I kind of had like an idea of like the topics that I wanted to sing about for my EP, or like the kind of like vibe. So we'd kind of like figure out what that vibe is for that day. And then like Adam will kind of like fiddle on the guitar. And then we'll kind of be like, okay, yeah, we like that. And then, I don't know, it's a lot of, like, collaboration, like, going back and forth. And, like one person will be like, oh, what if we did this? And then you get so excited, and then you're like, oh, yeah, and then we did this. And then it all builds up onto each other. So that was kind of, like, that's always kind of been the process, where it's just so fun, and it's just bouncing ideas off of each other. So that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of how we go about it.
Yeah, that is so fun, like, it's not like a set in stone like plan, but it's like you're taking it day by day and seeing if it fits, and it's very organic, I'd say.
Yeah, and it definitely takes the pressure off doing it that way.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna ask that too, like, does being in that environment make you feel pressured to write or make music? But I guess like probably in a good way, in a challenging, like it challenges yourself.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's weird because it's like yes and no in terms of pressure, because it's like you're being challenged, but in like the safest way possible. Because like if something doesn't work, then we'll just try again. And like these are people I trust, and like, you know, like they'll be honest with me and I can be honest with them. And I think it's like, it's so much better than like, I don't know, like going to a session and someone being like, okay, now we have to be quiet and like you have to like make the song like alone.
Right. I love that present for you.
So it's so much better like being able to like bounce ideas off of each other.
Oh, so I love that for you.
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really thought of it that way, because like if there's scheduled studio time, then I guess you're pressured to make music within that time and then like write songs in your free time. So yeah, that's interesting to put in perspective. But I guess also when you're in that camp, like you don't have really anything to do but to make music, right? Because everything around you is just music related.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I don't know, like we can take breaks whenever we want. Like, and
That's
like,
it.
yeah, like LA, like, is, I really love LA. Like, it's, I love the sun. And like, you know, so sometimes we'll be like, okay, we're kind of like tired. Let's go out and like get food or something. And you can just like walk out and it's warm outside, or we'll like sit outside in the sun. It makes it so much more, I don't know, like casual and easy, I guess.
Mate, love that. Like being surrounded by nature as well.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
That's good. That's good. I love nature. I just watched
Me too.
Princess Mononoke, like rewatched it recently.
Oh, I love that movie.
I
Yeah,
love that movie too.
that movie definitely makes me like love nature even more, because it's just like so beautiful in that movie.
Yes, and fight for nature as well. So also talking about your EP, what are some songs that inspired you to make this EP?
It's hard to think about like specific songs, but I think like what I was listening to, I think while we were making it, we were listening to Lizzie McAlpine's what's it called? Older and Wiser, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
I'm bad with
I
names.
think it was older, and then the deluxe was and wise, like older and wiser.
So we were listening to the deluxe one a lot. So I think that was definitely like a huge inspiration. Especially 'cause like I just really love like very like acoustic singer-songwriter vibes, and like Lizzie's so good at that. So that was like a huge inspiration. I think another one was like Bibi Dubi is always kind of like an inspiration, because I feel like she's so good at like combining kind of like harder, more like rock music, while also being very like soft.
Yes, I
So
actually
a
was gonna
huge inspiration.
say that Take a Bite like is such like it gives the vibe. Even like the music video gives like your EP vibe. Like Stay a
Really?
While.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you say that. But yeah, like I've loved Bibi Dubi for a long time, so I feel like she always is kind of like a bit of an inspiration. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different people that we listened to like throughout like making it, and like that we were like, let's draw inspiration from here. But I think from what I remember correctly, it was like a lot of like Lizzie, a lot of Bibi Dubi, a lot of Claro, like kind of that genre of like singer-songwriter girls, you know?
Okay, period. I was gonna ask something else, but I forgot. Was like a
No.
follow-up question. What were we talking about? We were talking about, oh, I remember. Okay. So is there, actually, let me give context. Okay, so with like making a playlist, this is an inspiration from the High Fidelity show again, like how talking about making a playlist is an art. I guess with making an EP and or an album, it's also organized in a way that is also an art. How did you organize like the order of the EP and why is it that way?
Yeah, so I don't know. I took a like definitely took a while to kind of like organize like what fit where. And I can say for a fact, like, okay, I started the EP with Just a Hug and then ended it with The Girl Who Never Learned. And I did that because both of those songs are kind of like more about like my younger self and like mental health. And so I kind of wanted it to start and end both with that, because I just felt like that was meaningful for me,
And
and
like
like,
full circle.
yeah, totally full circle, and just like kind of appreciating like you know, even though there's things that I went through that were hard and that I struggled with, it still is like a part of me and like it made me who I am. And so that's why I really wanted to do the full circle thing for the EP. And then like the rest of it, I'm not really, the rest of it, I kind of like was just feeling at like what felt right. I'm not sure if I can like put into words why exactly each song went where. It just really felt right. I definitely wanted like Perfectly Fine to be like near the top just because it felt like a bit lighter. And then Leaving Town was like light, but it's still like sad. And then I feel like it kind of like slowly went down into like in seriousness, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Actually, I do notice that about a lot of artists. They always have like the first half of their projects usually really light and then the second half a little bit more like emotional and darker.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so weird that I'm always drawn to like the second half of people's albums. So that's really funny. But
I think me too, yeah. I get that.
Yeah, I but get... Leaving Town's in the first half, so hey.
Yeah, that was definitely at the top too, because I feel like that was like a favorite. Like as soon as I wrote that, a lot of like friends were like, oh, this is my favorite.
Yeah, count me as one. And I guess this is the end of the interview. But to end it off again, do you have any song requests?
I do.
Okay, nothing for this time.
Nothing by Eric Ryan and Kyle, because
yes.
It just came out. Those are the homies and they're so good. It's a great song. So that is my request.
Yeah, they are so good. I remember one time I was in the car with them. They were just playing their unreleased the entire time. So no. Fire. You
they're
guys
so good.
Have no idea what you guys are even waiting for right now.
Yeah, they are so, so good. Really the best of the best.
Yeah, but, you know, also you, so.
Oh, hey. Thank you.
No, Toronto honestly has, like, it's so good here.
Oh, for real. No, there's so many talented people in Toronto. I am grateful to be in this city.
And it's like, I don't even have to gatekeep it, you know what I mean? Like, I can't. Like, I literally have a show that makes me share their music. So.
You're forced to be here?
I'm forced by my will, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, I'm just so passionate about, like, sharing everyone's music here in the community, and it's good. Like, it's so good. You know?
You're feeding everyone.
I hope so.
We thank you for that.
With every log in the radio, I guess.
Totally.
Hopefully it goes to you guys as well. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I know. I feel like it was just as smooth as last interview. I feel like,
except that I have better Wi-Fi this time.
So true. I didn't even realize. I thought it was the cameras off. The fact that the cameras were off. But yeah, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Hope to see you in January, February, whenever you're headlining. I know you're opening for Frank, but I need to save my money, girl. So
don't worry, I'll actually see you. We'll hit you up.
Okay. Oh my god, lit. Okay. Period. Okay. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Claire.
Yeah,
have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Oh, you're used to this. This is you.
CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Visit The Screening Room, Kingston's only independent movie theater located downtown at 120 Princess Street. They specialize in playing art house, international classic, and cult cinema, along with Hollywood's best new releases. People also always say they have the best popcorn in town. Visit Screening Room at screeningroom.com for upcoming show dates and ticket information.
And dad don't look so hot these days again.
Hey, this is Sam from Punk is Dead Radio. Tune in every Monday night at 10 p.m. for everything from pop punk to proto punk to hardcore on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Harper, host of Phase Radio, airing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we'll lean into all our different phases. Happy, sad, anxious, angsty, angry, and excited. Tune in each week as we revisit past mistakes, explore dreamy adventures, and embrace current moods with a variety of indie rock tunes.